Now is the time. The Feast of Tabernacles, we've just come back from. It's the high point of the year for us. Spiritually and physically, I think we can say that's true. We get to go and enjoy ourselves. We do so many exciting things packed into this 8-day continuous package. We go there, we worship God, we learn His ways, we look forward to and picture the wonderful coming kingdom of God. We rejoice before Him. We meet new people. We reconnect with old friends. It truly is a physical and a spiritual feast. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, I won't turn there because it's a famous verse, but it says, "To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven." And I think when it comes to the Feast of Tabernacles, we're pretty good at utilizing those 8 days for their intended purpose, making the most out of that time and the purpose that that time is set aside for. I started with those words, now is the time. What about today? What is it time for now? I'd like to bring our attention to 3 areas that we can focus on after that spiritual high point. And I'd like to also acknowledge that if we have high points through the year, if the feast is a high point every year, then somewhere in the middle, there must also be low points, right? In order to have high points, you have to have low points. Just a fact of, well, life. Also mathematics. I won't bore you with that. But anyone who's familiar with, you know, maxima and minima from calculus, you'll know this. So what is it time for now? Because we're off that high point, and our low points are going to be probably here in Cincinnati or wherever we normally live, right? So what is it time for now? 3 points. Number 1, it is time to strengthen our relationships with God. Time to strengthen our relationship with God. Well, don't we also do that at the Feast of Tabernacles? Yes, of course we do. Of course we do. But between now and the next feast, we have an entire year. And what we can accomplish over the course of a year is far more than we can do in 8 days. Even though in those 8 days we'll hear 9 or 10 sermons, the same number of sermonettes, along with probably a Bible study and a seminar, depending on how your feast site was organized. We can do a lot in the next year. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 1. We'll read verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Philippi, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is something that takes time. It takes effort. It's something that we don't do just in 8 days and then have it. It's something that we're doing all the time, growing in knowledge and discernment, abounding more and more in love, proving what is excellent, becoming pure and blameless for the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness. It's a lot to aspire to. But we also have a lot of time. A lot of time to work on praying to God, being in good habits and routines, to work on obeying God day to day as we live our lives. Repenting when we fall short of obeying God. Assembling together every week, doing our Bible study, fasting when we need it. Verse 27 sums it up in a way that I really like, and I have it in the English Standard Version here. It says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." That phrase, manner of life, everything that we do is supposed to be for the glory and praise of God. Second point, it is time to have meaningful fellowship and to build deep friendships. It is time to have meaningful fellowship and to build deep fellowships. One of those highlights of the feast that we all acknowledge is how great the fellowship is, right? Like I said, you meet new people and you reconnect with those old friends, and it feels so good, even though you only get to see them for a few short days. But we should also step back and acknowledge that if we don't put in the time right now to build and develop friendships, we won't have any old friends in the future to look forward to seeing at the Feast of Tabernacles. The real work of building and developing friendships that last and to fellowshipping within the Church of God happens now. It's happening today. It'll happen next week. It'll happen on the days in between the Sabbaths as well throughout the entire year. We'll stay in First Philippians. We'll stay in Philippians 1, read verses 3 through 5. In verse 3, this is what Paul says to his friends there in Philippi. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. For the people that we are here with, we should rejoice with each other every week, and we should draw closer every week. For the people who are far away, Paul used the social media of his day. He wrote letters. We can still write letters, but we also have our Facebooks and our Snapchats and everything else to keep in touch. But more powerful for developing those long-distance friendships throughout the year, far more powerful than all the Facebook likes and all the Instagram throwback Thursdays you could do, are our prayers for one another. Our prayers from one another. Paul thanked God in all his remembrance of them, always in every prayer. It is a powerful thing, even if we are separated by distance, to pray for one another. And what's true for those who are far away is also true for those right here at home. Praying for one another, getting to really know one another so that we know what we ought to pray for one another, is part of the work that we're doing here now. We should definitely give the physical help and comfort that we can while we're here together. But whether we're together or apart, we can always bring each other before God to give spiritual help and support to one another. Third point. It is time to perfect the spiritual fruit of joy. And I want to distinguish that from the rejoicing that we did at the feast. It is time to perfect the spiritual fruit of joy. So what is the difference between joy and rejoicing? Well, God commanded us to go to the feast and rejoice. He told us to go out and do it, and we did. We went and we did things that we enjoy in order to rejoice before God. Joy doesn't work like that, necessarily. There are things you can do that will ultimately lead to your joy. But whereas rejoicing is an action, something you can set out to do and go rejoice. Joy is a state of mind. It's a state of being. It doesn't depend on us being happy or comfortable or doing something we like. No, we can have joy even when we're quite uncomfortable, even when we're at what we might call those spiritual lows that we may have. Let's flip over a couple pages to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 11 through 14, Colossians 1, and verse 11. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. You see, that endurance and patience is hinting at what I just said, that you can have joy even at those times when you're also enduring and when you're having to have patience. Usually, you're not too happy if you're in the mindset of, oh, I'm enduring, oh, I'm having patience. That's difficult, isn't it? And yet still, we're supposed to do this with joy. And how can we do that with joy? Continuing in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Joy is a byproduct of our walk with God. It is part of living a godly life, of seeking the presence of God in our life, of seeking the will of God in our life. Elsewhere, we hear about the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation is not something that we just get automatically. It's not something that can be built in 8 days of rejoicing. It is something that we produce over time. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit that's developed in us as we develop godly character. Let's remember where our joy comes from. So what are we here to do today? We're having a post-feast social. Is the point to look back and wish we were still there? Well, no. The point is to be here together, right? It's to share those experiences that we had with one another, to talk about what we've been through so we can strengthen and encourage one another and in turn be strengthened and encouraged by others. It's to harness all of the energy and excitement that we felt at the feast and take it forward with us. For the last scripture, let's go to John chapter 15, verses 10 through 12. John chapter 15. The words of Jesus Christ in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That is the relationship with God, developing a loving relationship with our Father, obeying his commandments, abiding with him. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. No matter what situation we're in, no matter how hard it gets during the year, our joy ought to be full, something we work to perfect. In verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And there is the fellowship that we're seeking to build. So let's take all of the energy and excitement we had from the feast and set our hearts to follow God's ways, to keep his commandments, to love each other, and to grow in love, to abound more and more, to perfect that quality of joy in our lives that comes from God. Now is the time to walk worthy of our calling day after day, to make our election sure, so that we indeed enter into that kingdom of God that we spent 8 days looking forward to and picturing at the Feast of Tabernacles.